Welcome to The Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michaelson. This is our first show since the midterm elections. Last week, because of the fires, we were not able to do a show. This week, we're going to talk about one of the new stars, potentially, the Democratic Party, Katie Hill, who won one of the most competitive races in the country up in Santa Clarita, Simi Valley, Lancaster area. Also talking with Congressman Adam Schiff. Plus, we got a big panel as we talk about fires and guns and Southern California really at the center of the news. But we'll begin with Katie Hill. Take a listen. I'm Alex Michaelson. You voted. Now the issue is, what's next?
When I jumped in, the plan was to win.
Katie Hill did win. She's one of several SoCal Democrats who flipped reliably Republican district. She joins us from freshman orientation in D.C. Plus,
anyone who gets indicted by Bob Mueller goes down.
Burbank Congressman Adam Schiff is about to become one of the most powerful men in the country. We'll ask, who is he about to subpoena?
Every time I come back, I say this is the worst fire I've seen. Yesterday is the worst fire I've seen.
As California burns, major questions about climate change while the president prepares to visit. That and more with our panel, John Otterola from the Young Turks, Dish Nation's Heidi Hamilton, and Fox News' Gianno Caldwell. Plus,
just wait, just wait.
A beautiful tribute to SoCal firefighters as Blues Traveler perform in our studio. The Issue Is starts right now. And welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michaelson. On election night, some commentators wondered if a predicted blue wave turned out to be a blue ripple. But here in California, it was a blue tsunami. Katie Hill is one of several Democrats who flipped reliably Republican House seats. Congresswoman-elect Katie Hill joins us now from Capitol Hill. And just from a human perspective, not even a political thing, as a 31-year-old person, how does that feel to be Congresswoman-elect, to look behind you, to be on Capitol Hill as a future member of Congress?
It's so humbling and inspiring. I'm thrilled to be here with so many other fresh faces and young people. I am not even the youngest person. I have two other people who are younger than me and several others that are within months and a couple of years of me. So we have collectively dropped the average age of Congress by 10 years. So that's, I think, a really exciting thing. It shows the change that's about to happen in our country.
What do you think that the message that was sent by California voters specifically, and why do you think the message was so much louder in California than it was in other parts in the country?
Well, I think California voters know that this administration is unacceptable, that the issues that Republicans have failed to address in this Congress are unacceptable, that the fact that they're risking our health care, that they're not moving forward on, you know, issues like climate change. I mean, that has become clearer and clearer every single day.
Let's also talk for a moment about the issue of guns, because you've been very clear that you're a proud gun owner, that there are a lot of people in your district are as well. We had the borderline shooting, and I saw reports that you actually were planning on going to the borderline to do line dancing there. Mm-hmm. Did that shooting make you rethink it all in terms of the federal policy towards guns?
I mean, I've been very consistent on my federal policy towards guns. I mean, I think that we need to bring California laws to the national level to have consistency across state lines and to prevent as many gun deaths as possible. The borderline shooting did hit really close to home. Our entire team was planning on going there on Thursday night to celebrate our victory. And if it had been the night before, I mean, I can't even imagine what would have happened. So we were all just really stricken by it. And on top of that, my stepsister's roommate was there. She had to break out of a window to escape. And it was incredibly traumatizing. One of our interns lost a dear friend. So this is a shooting that has deeply impacted our community.
And then, of course, 24 hours after that shooting, we began these massive fires, which also has impacted you and your team. Tomorrow, the president is coming to California. He's coming to Southern California to see the damage firsthand. What do you want him to see?
I want him to see that this devastation is exactly that. It's devastation, and it's not something that we can play as a political pawn. This is, you know, 50% of the land in California is federal land, and the forestry management is in large part the federal government's responsibilities.
Now, speaking of California, you are now supporting California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi to become Speaker of the House once again. Her critics say that she's a divisive figure, that the Democratic Party needs fresh blood, and that she's bad politically for the party. Why are you, as one of the youngest members of the caucus, supporting her?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Democratic Party does need new blood. I would completely agree with that. But now we have a class of almost 60 people in the freshman class that makes up almost a quarter, or it probably will land at about a quarter of the Democratic caucus. So that's fresh blood. We need someone who can lead us in the way that is going to allow us to be as effective as possible. And that's why I want to be done with this conversation about who's going to be the leader. There's no one running against her. And the faction of people that is trying to stop her from becoming Speaker is small, and frankly, I don't know what their motives are, but I think it's incredibly disruptive to us being able to push a legislative agenda forward that we have been asked to do by our constituents.
So your reading of the situation is that Nancy Pelosi is going to become the Speaker of the House?
Yeah, my reading is that the situation is absolutely that Nancy Pelosi is going to become Speaker of the House. But do we do that in a way that is productive, cohesive, and streamlined? Or do we do that in a way that is frankly going to be an embarrassment to our party?
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your views. Congresswoman-elect Katie Hill. First time we've gotten to say
thank
that
you.
To you. Congratulations
thank you.
And best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Happy to be on.
All right. While Katie Hill arrives with the least seniority in the House, Burbank Congressman Adam Schiff, about to become one of the most powerful members, the Burbank Democrat, will soon be the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. That means he's going to oversee the House's Trump-Russia investigation and have subpoena power. Congressman Adam Schiff, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
Great to see you.
All right, so for years now, we've been talking about this concept of if you became the House Intelligence Chairman, now you are going to be, now you're going to have subpoena power. What happens next, and who are you about to subpoena?
Well, what happens next is we're going to have to begin reestablishing our relationships, some of which was, I think, broken with the intelligence community. There are still any number of investigative threads Republicans were unwilling to do a credible job. And one of the most important, in my view, is whether the Russians had been laundering money through the Trump business and they have financial leverage or may have financial leverage over the president.
So does that mean you're going to subpoena President Trump's tax returns?
I would imagine that the tax return issue will be handled by the Ways and Means Committee. There is actually a statutory mechanism for that committee to obtain the president's tax returns.
The biggest story here locally has been these massive fires that we've been dealing with. The president set to visit tomorrow. He's talked about the concept of pulling back federal funding. He's talked about the fact that the reason for these fires is land management issues. What do you expect from the president's visit, and what do you hope that he sees?
He just doesn't seem to understand that a significant part of his job is to bring us together, particularly in times of tragedy and hardship. So what do I expect from his visit? Some effort, I guess, to mitigate the damage of his statements. I hope he will hear out those that have lost so much and do his best to be empathetic towards their plight and the plight of our state. But my expectations, I have to say, are pretty low.
Are you worried at all that this sort of antagonistic relationship that some of the California leaders have with the president could hurt California, that he may actually withhold funding, that it could be bad for people that live here?
This is a vindictive administration, and we haven't really seen that in tax policy before. But I think what drove that tweet we saw in the midst of our fires is his antipathy towards California. The president all too often has viewed himself as not the president of the United States, but the president of the red states, the president of the states that voted for him. And as for the rest, not so much. So frankly, he's there already.
But do you think that you could help do that by changing the tone, maybe?
Look, my tone towards the president has been civil. It has been pointed, but it has been civil. I'm certainly not hurling insults at him and calling him names. I'm not going to, you know, sort of get down in the mud with him. But I'm going to do my job, and I have to expect he's not going to like that. He's had 2 years to get used to a Congress that was essentially a rubber stamp, that would do his bidding, that would look away from any allegation of impropriety or corruption. I'm not going to do that. My constituents didn't elect me to do that. And indeed, the framers intended for Congress to be not a supplicant to the president, but a co-equal branch of government.
All right, Congressman Adam Schiff, it sounds like things are about to be very different in Washington than they've been for the last couple of years. We appreciate your perspective. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And a reminder that our show is available in podcast form. Just search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. A lot to talk about our panel this week. John Iadarola of The Young Turks is with us. Dish Nation's Heidi Hamilton. Fox News' Gianno Caldwell. Stay with us.
The new abnormal. Fires, dryness, the lack of moisture.
California Governor Jerry Brown tours the fire zone with Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Tomorrow, President Donald Trump will tour for himself. Let's talk about that and more with our panel. John Iadarola is one of the co-hosts of The Young Turks. He's a leading progressive voice online. His videos on TYT.com and YouTube have been seen and shared by millions of people. Heidi Hamilton is co-host of Frosty Heidi and Frank Mornings on 95.5 KLOS. And you can see her on Dish Nation right here on Fox 11 weekdays at 6 p.m. And Gianno Caldwell is founder of Caldwell Strategic Consulting. He's a veteran of several Republican campaigns. He's a Fox News political analyst who can be seen often on both the Fox News Channel and the Fox Business Network. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm wearing the same outfit.
Yeah. You got to look. Stick with it. It's your thing. The president's coming here tomorrow. What do you make of this battle between the Trump administration and California, John?
I think that one of the difficulties is the same that we see with a lot of issues where he fundamentally doesn't understand some of the facts of the situation. So he's criticizing California's management of largely federal lands. The vast majority of the land that he's talking about is managed not by California, but by the federal government, which means that if anyone is to blame in terms of management, which I don't think is the primary issue, it would be his own government. Now, this is the sort of thing that he can be educated on when he gets here. I personally don't think that's what we should be talking about. I think that the climate generally is a far bigger issue, and hopefully one that the partisan issues we have with him that can transcend.
Gianno, do you think that this is a wake-up call that climate change is a real issue, and do you think that it's possible that some on the right might see that?
Well, I don't think that's ever really been a consideration in terms of it being a real issue. I know back in the day, President Trump, or then candidate Trump, said that climate change was an invention by the Chinese. Certainly that has changed. I'm sure he's educated himself since then. But you know what? When we talk about the politics of the day and we look at California as a whole, I mean, this is obviously a Democratic stronghold. More importantly, some of the most senior leaders nationally are here in California, Democrats that President Trump will now have to deal with. So I applaud the step that he's making to come and talk about this issue, deal with it, and certainly tour for himself.
A couple of things to say on it. First of all, my radio partner, Frank Kramer, also my co-host on Dish, lost his home. He was out in Bell Canyon. His home is gone. So I know what he feels. I know there were 9 homes on that street and on that cul-de-sac, and 7 of them are gone. 2 are still standing. So when Donald Trump, the first thing he tweeted, it's supposed to be our leader. This is the guy that you're looking to for comfort. When he goes, well, because of all the brush and they didn't clear in California. I'm going, that's like showing up at your grandmother's funeral who died of lung cancer and going, well, she smoked cigarettes. And you're like, wait, no. You might think that. That's not the time or the place.
Wait,
it's like, right, you need, like, right now, we need comfort. We need not blame. It's like people are losing their homes. They have no place to live, you know?
And this week, we actually asked Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke in an exclusive one-on-one interview that question. Was that the appropriate thing to say? This is what he had to say.
I'm less into finger-pointing and more into solutions. But the president is right, and this has been a long time coming, about mismanagement.
Response to that?
I mean, I think that, like, I like that Zinke is, I guess, sort of addressing the issue, but we know what Zinke is there in that position for. He is there to sell off American lands to oil, coal, and mining interests. That's the only qualification he has. So his opinion on forest management, he's not qualified to even speak about that, no more than I am.
Or me either. Why are we here? I'm not sure why. But you know, but I think too, it's like, when talking to Frank, he had been through these things before, living where he lives. It happens so quickly, and you can't control the wind. I mean, the wind, on a different day. So no matter what you would do with brush clearing and stuff like that, when things are moving that quickly, I mean, it's just. Yeah. Mother Nature is something that you have no idea what it's going to do.
But the problem isn't just that Republican leaders don't take climate change seriously. Virtually no Democratic leaders, maybe at the state level, but by the time they get to the federal government, they don't care about it anymore. Chuck Schumer could do something, but he doesn't care enough. Nancy Pelosi passed a carbon tax back in 2010, or tried to anyway. She put it up for a vote. But is she actually going to lead now that she has a House majority? That is a gigantic question.
Yeah, and clearly it's been an issue Governor Jerry Brown's pretty passionate about here.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go to break. With the number one song in America, which is Thank You Next, a little Ariana Grande,
oh, right.
Which is what some Democrats are now saying to Republican incumbent members of Congress, and sometimes describes Gianno's dating life, right? Thank You Next, we hear. Voters expressed themselves in record numbers in the midterms, and California turnout rose from 31% in 2014 to 48% in 2018. That blue wave may have flipped all of Orange County. Democrat Gil Cisneros officially pulled into the lead of his 39th district race against Republican Young Kim. That's when the two of them were here on The Issue Is. This week, the Associated Press declared that Democrat Katie Porter will unseat incumbent Republican Mimi Walters in District 45. We spoke with Porter today.
I'm honored to be selected as their next congresswoman, and I can't wait to continue to listen to them and talk with them about how we move our country forward.
Porter's win on top of wins for Harley Ruda, Mike Levin, and Katie Hill, who, of course, we talked with earlier on the show. Back with our panel now, Gianno Caldwell, Heidi Hamilton, John Iadarola. The question is, Gianno, you've been a Republican consultant. Where does the party go from here?
We were just going out for drinks. Yeah. I'll wait until after the first two, three. But you know what? Maybe locally it was a blue wave. We can be honest. But
a blue tsunami, I'm calling it.
You can call it a blue tsunami, sure. But nationally it was a blue mist. So we can be honest about those things. Now, what I can tell you is it seems as though the issues that really won today was what people cared about most, which was health care. If you look at the polling numbers, 41% of Americans cared about health care more than anything else, then it was immigration and the economy. So we talk about, especially Orange County Democrats, what did they do? They stuck to their messaging in terms of health care. Not only that, they didn't pursue a very liberal talking point as you normally would see in some other areas. So they stuck to issues that they had commonality with the voters on.
Yeah. I mean, Heidi, Orange County was Reagan country for so many years. It was the Orange
curtain. A lot of money down there in Orange County,
what
right?
What do you make? What's going on?
Listen, you know what? I mean, I'm in Encino, but what I can tell you is talking with a lot of friends, I had so many friends and so many people just that I work with that had never voted before, which blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And you'd say, what, this is your first time voting? And they're like, yeah, I just never did before. And these are young people. There are a lot of women. So I think that's what's happening.
Those numbers went up.
It's still shocking to me that it's only 48%. It's like, why are we all not voting? I don't understand.
It's so easy in California with vote by mail.
I mean, I definitely think that it was a blue wave in terms of the popular vote margin, the number of gubernatorial races that they won, the number of Senate races that they didn't lose, even though they had 10 Democrats that were running in states that Trump won just 2 years ago. When it comes to California, though, I wonder.
I thought those were California numbers you were quoting, because if it was a blue wave, you would have saw what you saw in 2010. You talk about 69 seats lost by the Democrats.
See, but I disagree.
Here, Democrats won only 39 seats. How do you?
Well, because the number of seats you can win are determined by how many seats you're actually losing by going to the election. So in 2010, the Republicans were able to win a huge number of seats because the Democrats had a much bigger margin. 2016 wasn't great for the Republicans, which means that the Republican margin in the House up until last Tuesday was kind of narrow. There weren't that many seats for the Democrats to actually win.
But the Democrats could have done a whole lot better. Then you talk about the fact that Republicans strengthened the majority in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as great as some people are telling this fantasy message.
They strengthened their margin in the best map that they're going to have for the next decade.
Heidi, where do Republicans in this state go from here?
You know, I don't blindly follow one particular thing. I don't blindly follow you because you're a woman. I don't blindly follow you for any reason. So the thing I think that hurts Republicans in California is sometimes I think it's okay to distance yourself from Donald Trump.
I think that that's going to be tough to do. I actually empathize. I'm a progressive, but I empathize with them because now these congressional races are so national. And if we know one of them says, I don't agree with Donald Trump, then they'll get primaried by someone who's going to get $20 million flown in from all around the country. It makes it really hard.
Yeah, right. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you, the panel. Great discussion. We appreciate it. What you're about to hear is a little blues traveler. Remember this song, Run Around? Well, up next, they're in our house with a special performance for our firefighters. We'll be right back. Little 90s throwback for you.
I love that song.
I do play a beat here for Monica.
As we close out our show this week, we want to take a moment to thank all of the brave firefighters who are protecting California. To honor them, the Grammy Award-winning band Blues Travelers is here with a special performance of their song, Just Wait.
Just wait, just wait, just wait, and it will come. If you think I'm giving up on you, you're crazy. And if you think I don't love you, well, then you're just wrong. In time, you just might take to feeling better. Time's the beauty of the road being long. I know that now you're feeling all consolation. But maybe if I told you and informed you out loud, I say this without fear of hesitation.
Yeah, what a beautiful tribute there from Blues Traveler, and our hearts go out to all the firefighters this week. It's been unbelievable to see them all in action, and we thank them in what has been one of the most difficult times in recent memory here in Southern California. Thank you for listening to our show. We hope you'll subscribe. Tell your other friends to subscribe at The Issue Is. We'll see you next time. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.